Welcome back to Vocal Point. This is Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with a fellow named Terry Bomar of Terry Bomar Ministries. Bomar is spelled B-O-M-A-R. He's also the president of something called Young Adventurers, which helps troubled, disadvantaged youth to find their true calling and fulfill their dreams and destiny in Jesus Christ. Terry, welcome to the program.
Well, I'd glad to be here.
All right, and let's begin, not on the highway there, but let's begin with your own testimony. How did you become a follower of Jesus Christ?
That is pretty amazing. I grew up in a divorced home, raised my single mom, who raised five kids. I was the youngest of the five, and was just pretty standard home. And
where was that geographically? Where did you live?
Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis, okay.
Mm-hmm. And everything was great till I was 13, and some friend of mine on the way home from school turned me on to LSD, and I started doing that every day, and everything changed. And I turned from an A student to a disaster, and drove my mother crazy and everybody else in the family. And then my brother came to Christ and began to talk to me, and I didn't like to hear that. I cursed him out just about every chance I got, and didn't want anything to do with him or church or preachers or religion or Jesus or nothing else. And so pretty much ran from all of that and really despised it. But he kept going, and my mother kept praying. And one night he asked the right question at 3:00 in the morning as he pulled into my driveway. And he said, "Why do you fight God so hard? Maybe God's got something better for you, and you keep fighting it." He said, "If I handed you a joint, you'd try that. If I handed you some drugs, you'd try that. I'm just asking you to try God. What's wrong with that?" And he gave me a scripture that said, "Try me, taste me, see if I'm good." And then he gave me another scripture that said, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart." He said, "Sounds like a good deal to me." He said, "Why don't you try it?" So that night...
Oh, wait, stop. Well, how old were you by this point?
I was 17.
Oh, okay.
17.
Okay, so 4 years, though, of pretty lot of drugs. And
yeah, it was a lot. We got into a lot of criminal activity. In fact, two of my friends went to death row, and I was in the car that night, and for some reason I got out of the car. And I just wanted to... I knew my mom and my grandparents would have been shocked to see that we had just robbed somebody in the park and were doing those things. And I didn't want to be a part of that. And I didn't want them to think of me in a bad way.
All right. Could you clarify?
I was thinking about my grandparents.
Yeah. Could you clarify something, though? When you say you were in the car, two of your friends went to death row and you got out of the car that night. What does that mean? In other words, you were with two friends, you got out of the car, and then those two friends went on to do something so terrible that today they're on death row. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, they're not on death row today. They actually got commuted to life. But that night I was in the car, and I was sitting with them, and I got out. And they went on to a friend of ours, or a friend of theirs. I didn't know him, but he turned out to be a police captain, and they killed him that night.
Ooh.
Whether it was by accident or whatever, right. But...
But you easily could have been an accessory to the crime and could easily be... facing life in prison, but by the providence of God, you got out. Okay, so now let's go back to the night at 3 in the morning or whatever it was when your brother, when you were 17 years old, he said, "Try God, you've tried everything else."
Yeah, it was that night in November the 29th, 1974. I said, well, when he said those words, I don't know what it was that clicked, but... I prayed a prayer. It wasn't a salvation prayer that most people would pray. I prayed it this way. I said, "God, I'm going to try you like with everything I've got. I'm going to do this just like as if I was trying anything else, but I'm going to give it everything I got for 2 weeks. And if it doesn't work for me like it did those guys in the Bible in 2 weeks, I'm going back to drugs because I can feel that." And that was the prayer I prayed.
Hmm.
And changed my life forever.
Hmm. What happened after that? I mean, just short version.
Well, the next morning, the short version is the next day. I didn't feel any bells or whistles go off, but I knew something had happened, and I took a step to follow that. I said, I'm going to see if this, I meant what I said. And, I was smoking two or three packs of cigarettes a day. I never smoked again. And I just decided my life would change. And, I went and bought a Bible that week and, went to church with my brother that week. And the next week I joined the church and I said, I'm going to do what I said. And, but I still had a skepticism in me. And I said, I want to see if this stuff is real. And so I began to read the Bible with an eye of skepticism, but that skepticism made me realize how real it really was. And every time I tried to prove it wrong, it proved itself right. And instead of being a contradiction, I realized it was like fine-tuned gears fit together. All you got to do is keep looking, and you'll find it.
Now, you're describing things that began in 1974. Let's fast forward to today, the year of our Lord, 2015, and you've got this ministry. You're even involved in other ministries, and I understand maybe you've written some books. Why don't you just give an overview of what you've been doing for Christ since the days of your conversion, if you can still hear me.
Oh, I can hear you. Yeah, I'm sorry. It actually has been pretty amazing, because that week, after I got saved, a couple of weeks later, I joined the church. Within a year, I felt called to preach. I preached my first sermon, and then a few months after that, I started a prison ministry, which turned into five prison ministries. And back in 1975, or six, and one of those prison ministries are still going on today.
Wow.
That my brother operates every Monday night, and all these years later. And so it wasn't but a long after that I began to I went through a lot of educational things, but I kept preaching and began to be an evangelist, and then I became a missionary. And in 19, not sure what year that was, but 1979, I think, and began preaching all over the world, pastored four or five churches, and now I'm in Florida. I live in Florida, started an organization for kids called Young Adventures, and we've helped about 12,000 kids since 1992, and now I've done some other things, and we've got involved with some Hollywood personalities. Dan Haggerty, he became our spokesperson for Young Adventures, and so that opened up the door to, you know, some ministries we've done actually out here in Hollywood where I am today. And so from that, it's just been an amazing, ministry that I've done an awful lot of things. And because of Young Adventures, it opened up doors to speak in different locations. I was in 11 countries this year already.
Wow. And I understand you're going pretty soon to Norway and Sweden. And my wife is from Norway. We were married there. We visited her folks just a couple weeks ago. Well, not her folks, but her family.
Yeah, I'll be in Oslo, Sweden. I go next Thursday on the 22nd. I'll be preaching in Oslo, preaching in Arendal, and then the next week I'll be going to Sweden to preach in a conference there in Stockholm.
Wow, that's fascinating. Okay, tell us about Young Adventures.
Young Adventures is a unique organization that basically does two things. It helps a young person find their dreams. We want to build character and vision in young people. It really came from a scripture that, you know, where there is no vision, the people perish. And I knew that the reason I got into the problems that I was in is because I didn't see anything besides the street corner. I didn't know that. I had a great mom, you know, raising five kids by herself. But I didn't know that there was, you know, a lot of things to be involved in. And so I had no vision. And that was what was, you know, making me vulnerable to problems. So I decided, the Lord kind of led me to start this, and so I said, I want to teach it in a secular way but I want to teach the Word of God. And I said, so teaching righteousness is really character, and teaching faith is vision. So I began Young Adventurers, Building Character and Vision in Young America is our tagline. And so we began working in the public schools in Broward County, and we had after-school programs and suspension alternative programs, and then every year we would do certain special projects that would help kids. They would set the adventure, and since then, we've taken kids all over America and taken them to Alaska, taken some, you know, to foreign countries as well, and they set the adventure and they shoot for it. And along the way, we try to find out what their dreams and desires are, you know, vocationally. And we say, well, first you have to build your character, then you set your vision. And as you begin to find that vocationally, we want to see where you're going to go with your life. Let's stretch that vision. And so we've had kids do everything from riding with NASCAR drivers to swimming with sharks with Cousteau and being in Alaska with Grizzly Adams. So we've stretched some visions. We had Pirates of the Caribbean one year and in the Bahamas, and then took a few kids to Greece this year. And so it's really a project-based type organization now, and we try to help young people find their purpose and what their dreams are. But then we teach them, you've got to give back. And so in that way, we're able to reach out to, let's just say, the average kid or the middle-income kid. But yet we want to say to them, we want to help you go forward, but you've got to reach to that young person that might not be as in good a shape as you and help them go forward. Hmm. So we pass it along that way.
Hmm. And you say these are troubled and disadvantaged youth.
Well, we've spent a long time. We've spent many years that was dealing with troubled and disadvantaged youth, especially when we had our suspension alternative program going. But now we do work with those troubled and disadvantaged youth, but it's actually, that becomes our second leg, is where we go after the average kid first, but we get them to grab some of those that might be disadvantaged, and we make opportunities happen for them. And in that way, I don't like to put labels on it, whether it's a good or a bad kid, but you understand what I'm saying. When you have an average kid that has things going better for them, when they reach to someone who is more disadvantaged, you actually help both kids and in a special way. Because when you teach a young person to give of themselves, they'll never forget that. And when they see that good that they can do to help someone else, you not only help the person that might be disadvantaged, you've now created a person, another young person that says, I want to do this the rest of my life.
Hmm. Good. And I understand part of the thing is to help children understand their true calling.
Exactly.
So what does that mean?
Well, if you talk to young people today, I guarantee if you interview 20 young people, maybe one might know where they want to go. A lot of times they're looking for answers and they don't know how to find their calling or their dream.
I think that's true even with a lot of adults too.
Exactly.
To some degree.
But it comes back to that verse that my brother gave to me. It comes back to that. He said, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. If you look at that verse very carefully, God's will is that you delight in Him. But He said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. So that tells you that the calling that God has for you is very much attuned to the actual desires that are in your heart naturally. And all of us have different desires and dreams. All of us do. But I believe those things are implanted in us before we were born, when He knit us together in our mother's womb. And so we all, some of us love art, some of us love action, some of us love adventure, some of us love poetry. But those interests inside of us can be a key to where God wants to call us. And I believe it's right there in that verse. He said, if you delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. I believe two things. Number one.
We're almost out of time.
When you delight in Him, He will bring those desires that you naturally have to fruition, and you'll find your calling that way. Also, as you delight yourself in Him and be soft in Him, He'll give you new desires that'll redirect your life.
Excellent.
And so that's how we teach a young person.
Terry Bomar, again, of Terry Bomar Ministries, B-O-M-A-R. What is the website, please?
TerryBomar.com.
B-O-M-A-R. Terry is T-E-R-R-Y. Thank you, Terry. God bless. All the best.
God bless you. Thanks
all right.
For calling.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.